Polska staje się coraz atrakcyjniejszym miejscem dla zagranicznych firm z sektorów IT czy finansów. Jednak przenoszą się do nas nie tylko biura, ale i pracownicy. Okazuje się, że Polska stała się atrakcyjnym miejscem dla obcokrajowców z wielu miejsc. Dlaczego obcokrajowcy wybierają Polskę? Czy łatwo, czy trudno im jest rozpocząć pracę? Oraz jakie wartości osoby z innych krajów wnoszą do zespołów? Nazywam się Dominika Nawrocka, a Ty słuchasz podcastu Między Innymi, audycji Capgemini Polska poruszającej trendy i wyzwania współczesnego świata. Odcinek wyjątkowo jest w języku angielskim. Today I have the pleasure to talk to Sylwia Królikowska, CEO and founder of Van Dalen Group, business psychologist, business trainer and consultant, and Marco Cileppi, Capgemini manager from Italy, who lives in Poland. Okay, so the first question, maybe to you, Sylwia. There is no doubt that if we compared Poland to that one which was 10 years ago and to what it is today, is a vastly different country, and also in terms of diversity as well. So Sylwia, what are your observations when it comes to our social fabric, our society?
So yes, definitely we see a huge difference within the last 10 years. So Polish people became more and more open for other nationalities. Well, we were always open, but now we've got so many foreigners coming to Poland and we definitely cooperate beautifully. And young generation is much more open for other nationalities and in general for travel due to our history. Because, you know, like 20, 30 years ago, we got communism. So it was, it was very difficult to travel. And we were rather watching the world, in TV or something like this. Now we can travel easily. So we are also much, much more open for people coming here to Poland. And we are more than happy to show them how beautiful our country is.
Marco, a question to you. Where are you from and how long have you been living in Poland?
Yeah, thank you. So I am from Italy, from Sicily in particular. And I moved to Poland in Katowice 8 years ago. To work for Capgemini Poland, and I'm still here and very happy. I built a lot of things, so I'm kind of old Italian living in Poland, 8 years.
And from your perspective, how was Poland back then when you moved in here?
So basically, when I moved here, it was November 2011. I remember when I arrived to Katowice, it was rainy and I went to the city center, to the Rynek. And basically, there was no Rynek. It was really everything gray. And it was strange because I knew Krakow, and Krakow was always, beautiful. So come to Katowice, for me, was something completely, new. And I didn't know what to expect. And I need to say that, as a foreigner that was in Krakow, coming, for example, to Katowice, it doesn't help you too much to really understand if this is a good place or not. But the company, so coming into the office, the first day, I cannot forget, it was a Monday, of course, it really changed for me because I arrived at work. I was, I would say young. I was 28 years old. And there was, a lot of young people, let's say mainly under 30, and everybody was speaking a different language. So I was, coming from this, international background, student association and stuff like this. And I felt like this is the place where I want to be. So it was really a big contrast among Katowice, so Poland in that case for me, outside and then inside the office. So this was really for me the biggest difference I noticed, how young, how international was inside the office, and maybe how different it was outside.
What are the main factors that bring people to Poland, foreigners to Poland? What do you think? What are the main factors?
I think that might be a question to Marco, because he is the foreigner who decides to came here. Well, there are many reasons. Well, of course, one of them are our beautiful females, right? I guess, Marco, you will agree that this is why so many foreigners come here, because of the because usually they get girlfriends or things like this. But to be absolutely serious, I think it's because we are really good in languages. This is our strength here in Poland, here in Europe, that we speak different languages. So we speak Polish, we speak English, we speak Italian, we speak German, we speak French, so we can deliver service in all over languages like this. And also because we are hardworking. This is what I really hear from many, many people, that my husband is Dutch. And this is what he says, for example, like, you Polish people, you are really hardworking. Like, you know, we know we can trust on you. You're dedicated to your work. We know we can count on you. So I think this is the languages, us being hardworking, and I think it's also our hospitality that you know, maybe the first contact is not always very easy, but later it's just getting a great bond. I don't know what you think, Marco, about it.
Yeah, and what's your story, Marco?
Yeah, so basically, for sure, these languages, it applies more to the companies, I guess, investing in Poland more than us moving here. But of course, we are coming here because of the companies. So I will say that, you know, private, the family affair, for sure, it's true, because I would say half of my colleagues, they are here because they married with a Polish girl, because they met somewhere. So I think that, you know, Polish people are great travelers, and half of my colleagues, they met with their girlfriend or wife in Spain, in Italy, and then they moved and they decided to live in Poland. So this is why Poland is really, it's kind of a good place where to settle. So yes, for sure, family, it's a reason. But for me, it was not this, actually. For me, it was really the work. Because, you know, I was in a period of my life that I wanted to build something new, something different. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, we have, you know, this kind of question, like, what do I want to become or to do, right? And I got this opportunity to come to Poland for a great brand, a great, let's say, name. I didn't know it at the time, but I knew it was some big name. So I gave this try, and this is what, you know, what I'm also, you know, recommending to people, just, you know, to focus on their development, and then slowly everything will come later. I found my wife, I found my friends, I found a lot of things here. But my main trigger, for example, was to develop, to learn. But I can tell you that, you know, I am in contact with so many international guys, and even not people working in corporations, especially, for example, in Katowice. They come here because there is work. You can buy a flat, you can build a family, and maybe, you know, all these opportunities at this really moment, this really historical period, are not the same in some other countries, we have to say.
Mm-hmm. And you decided to stay. Why you decided to do so?
I think I was asking myself every year this, or there was something popping up every year, and since 8 years, right? So I remember, for example, that 1 year after I was working in Capgemini, I got a job interview actually, the first week I was in process with other companies. And I remember the first weekly call I had with my client. It was like 10 engineers from Katowice, my team, plus 10 engineers from all Europe discussing about technical matters. I felt in love with this, you know, with this call. And I wrote to this other company, I don't look for a job anymore. I stay. So this was my first, you know, I stay. And then I remember 1 year later, there was another company that I was in touch with. And then I was comparing with what I have here in Poland. And I feel I'm lucky because I love my job. I always loved it. Every time I'm changing, I'm loving it more. So for me, it was really, this is the reason why I stay here. Of course, I love what I do every day. I like to wake up and go to work. Then now I have my flat, I have my wife, I have my daughter, I have my family, I have everything here, right? So I don't ask even to anymore, actually, to myself why I stay. I have my foundation. I created a foundation for foreigners here in Katowice. So I have a lot of things. So this is my country now.
Perfect. Sylvia, maybe to you. Germany is said to be a nation well organized, right? People say that French, they don't speak foreign languages. About Italians, sorry, Marco, it's not personal. They are too talkative. Those are statements, but are these misconceptions? Or maybe there is something in it.
Well, mostly there are stereotypes, I would say. Of course, every nation is different because of the values they believe. And we need to understand that we need to analyze what is the value in which country, and because of the value, people will behave in this things. But there are also a lot of, you know, stereotypes about Polish people, about Poles. So we can also talk about this. What are the stereotypes?
Yeah, I would love to hear that. What kind of stereotypes about Poles you have heard?
First stereotype is that we are like oranges. So, you know, sometimes when you're walking on the street and you see people passing each other, they barely like smile to each other. When you're in Italy, when you're in Spain, people smile to each other. You know what I mean? Here in Poland, we've got something what we called like a cold face. So people rather don't smile to each other. So the first impression is not very welcoming, I would say. Like if people smile to you at the bus stop, you're rather afraid. Not, you know, you don't treat it as an opportunity to have a nice conversation.
Marco, do you confirm that?
That the first impression is not welcoming?
It depends. I think that, you know, we have this joke that sometimes, you know, Poles are not, you know, too smiley. But then, you know, it's just maybe the first impression, I have to say. And maybe it's also the time in the morning that maybe it's not... they wake up very early, I guess. So this could be a reason.
Yes.
Before coffee.
Yeah. It might be like this, but this is important that we are like oranges. So, you know, the skin, the first impression might be not welcoming, but then when you come through this tough skin, it's nice and soft inside. So, you know, like we are...
I like that.
Yeah, this is the metaphor. Like sometimes we say Americans are like peaches. So it goes easy, like, you know, it's nice and soft, but then there is a hard pit. And with Poles, we are like oranges. So the first impression is maybe not welcoming, but then it's nice and soft when you go inside. So that's the one stereotype. And another is that we are moaners. We are moaners, yeah. So we are complaining about everything, about the weather, about the job, too much job, too little job. I don't know, Marco, if this is also your impression, but we like moaning.
Yeah, I agree on this as well. I mean, sometimes it's like... maybe it's, I mean, because I'm coming from South Europe, I'm very, you know, open, positive, and try to be optimist. Sometimes, you know, people, even in Italy from the north, they say another stereotype because it's colder. It's a bit looking at things a bit more gray. But yes, definitely it's another stereotype because I have a lot of Polish friends and even my colleagues, they are really sunny people. So another stereotype, for example, I can mention it's about, you know, at my job, it's Italian being not on time. Right. But then we are the always very punctual and maybe the Polish guys are late. Right. And you expect Polish to be on time because they wake up very early. So it's we have a lot of games about this.
So if we can summarize, so those are stereotypes. Maybe there is something in it, but actually better not to generalize, right?
Yeah, we shouldn't generalize it, especially that, you know, we got younger generation, and this younger generation is much, much more open, much more positive, much more cheerful, I would say. I think this moaning in our history might be because of our past, the hard time we were going through. So we were complaining about having nothing in stores because actually that was true. There was nothing in store and we couldn't travel, and that was really not an easy time in our history. But when you look at younger generation, I think they're much more cheerful. So I think, yeah, these moaners will go away soon.
Interesting. Marco, do you speak Polish? Do you think that this skill of speaking Polish is something that every foreigner must have, or rather nice to have?
Rather nice to have, definitely. So, yeah. Ja mówię trochę po polsku, not so much, as you know. But I'm always planning every time to learn it. And so for me, it's like being very honest, I don't really need it. Because at job, I don't need. People are always nice to me. They help me. Even with the offices, I always manage because some people are more open, because somebody else are more helpful. So I never had an issue, I have to say, even with older people, very helpful. Even not even sharing a word, we were always understanding each other. So of course it's good to talk. I will learn. I'm sure I will. I think it's possible. A lot of people learned in a couple of years. It's just a matter of, you know, really being motivated. So not a big challenge if you really want to go for it.
Okay, and what do you think, what is the most difficult for foreigners, maybe from the cultural perspective or maybe daily issues or something like that? Is there anything like that, do you believe?
So for me, you need to get used when you're coming from a different country. So for example, I will tell you Mediterranean country. So I'm talking about Spain, France, Italy, or even North Africa. The weather is different. You need to get used. Then we can say that this winter was a bit weird one because there was no snow. So, but I remember in the past it was really cold. So this is really what you need to get used to, the temperature, because when it's minus 10, minus 15, if it will be, we don't know again, but you're not used. So it's something very hard. It can be difficult for some to get used to. Me, I never cared too much, it's fine. And of course, you need to get used also, you know, to food. So to the... And an Italian is saying that, right? So for me, this is really a big deal. For me, you know, I need to just give up on something or just to, I need to find the right shop. But I do. So I think not a big deal there. But these are, for me, the main challenges. And all the rest are really standard things. Like, you know, I will not tell you the bureaucracy, because bureaucracy it's an issue everywhere. So
that's right. This is something what occurs in every country.
Actually, that was my first thought, because as I told you, my husband is Dutch. So now it's much, much better. But when he moved to Poland like 15 years ago, we got this awkward situation when he needs to get a permission to work, but he didn't have a stable address. Mm. So we went to fix a stable address. But then they told us, to fix a stable address, you need to have a permission to work. And we say, yeah, but we need to have a stable address to have a permission to work. So what to do?
Yeah.
So it was like 15 years ago. Now I think it's better. And there is also one thing that foreign sometimes tells me, that there is a culture difference, that sometimes it's difficult regarding us Poles, is that it's still a challenging for us to be proud of something and give compliments and receive this compliment. You know what I mean? We still get it when somebody give you a positive feedback. For example, you look great today, and you think you give somebody's pleasure by saying this, and this person say like, yeah, come on, it's just an old dress or something. So you just appreciate someone, you just give a compliment, and instead of saying like, thank you, oh, you're such a nice person, you're just having this feedback like, come on, there's something wrong with you that you like it. So I think we need to work on self-confidence and giving compliments and receiving compliments. So that's something we need to work on.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. This is something what we should learn.
Yeah, I agree a lot with self-confidence. Yeah, there is something, it can be improved.
Okay, so let's go right now to the work area. And when it comes to work itself, what are the main struggles while working in an international teams? What do you think, Sylvia?
You need to understand each other and try not to judge it. I think this is very important. And believing that people behave like they behave, not because they are like this, but because there is some value we don't understand, for example. So I observe it very often that... People don't understand the meaning of something. For example, small talk. Here in Poland, we don't like small talk. We think it's a waste of time. While when you work with some people, for example, from India, this is very important for them because it shows that human to human speak, that we like each other, that I care about you. And I think we don't talk about small talk. We talk what's behind the small talk. And this is the biggest challenge regarding culture differences. We need to understand what is the value behind and don't judge it, but just appreciate it and respect it.
Mm. Marco, would you add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, when you say the main challenges when you're, let's say, working in an international company, in Poland, definitely it may be the language, because sometimes it's like, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30% of employees are, let's say, foreigners, and maybe half of them don't speak Polish. So this sometimes is a challenge to, you know, although everything is translated, definitely, sometimes it can be a challenge. You need to get used. And of course, also the cultures, definitely. And, you know, I'm telling you, in my team, I have 8 different nationalities. So from basically different continents. So I experience this every day. And this is a challenge, but, you know, not an issue, a challenge, a positive challenge.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the situation when the boss is different nationality than Polish, can we say that people of certain nationalities are better or worse bosses? Can we say that?
I wouldn't get this statement. I wouldn't get the statement because we've got different styles. Mm-hmm. I would say when you're, for example, from US, you probably more get used to empowerment. Like you are more empowering your people. You're doing coaching. You give them opportunity to speak. Here in Poland, we're still working on it because in the past, we were rather like do what the boss says. We had such a style in the past because it was helpful. Nowadays, young people, they don't work like this. They also need a bit more empowerment. But we don't have any researches that bosses from some nationalities are better. I think this is really matter of the personality and also how much the boss wants to listen to people and grow. I think this is very important.
Yeah.
Okay, Marco, you are a boss actually for your team and you have many nationalities under one roof actually. So how do you cope with that situations on a daily basis?
I promote this diversity as a really an asset of my team. So I'm super proud and I would like, you know, my people to realize that they should be proud because they are lucky. They are living in Katowice, Poland, going, you know, to the office every day and they have chance to interact with 8 different nationalities. I mean, there is Italy, France, Tunisia, Netherlands and Germany. Really, it's a lot of different, you know, accent, languages, cultures, point of view. And this, I always say, it's our strength. So this is the way that I am always talking to them. Then, of course, I also want them to accept diversity. So their manager doesn't speak in Polish to them. I have 50% of Polish in my team. So they need to, you know, practice every day this, you know, accepting diversity, but it works really well.
Okay, so let's complicate the situation a little bit. So we have teams that are diverse in terms of nationalities. And we have also those teams and those teams working, they are very dispersed. What then? What advice would you give to leaders and to people in that situation?
I think it's very important to not disconnect. You know, we can be separated, but we shouldn't be disconnected. I think this is very important. So we need to be connected. We need to have some, I don't know, like the moment that we communicate, that we have a meetings like we've got now, you know, that we can sit and talk. And I think it's very important to have like morning huddles. I guess some teams got morning huddles. And it's very important not only talk about work. I think this is very important advice that especially if it's a hard moment that we need to stay at home due to something unpredictable, that we can simply talk like, hey, how are you doing? How are you managing? Like, you know, age to age, human to human. I think that's a trend of the future. Age to age, human to human. We might be separated, but we shouldn't be disconnected. I think this is very important.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. I just, you know, I see this as the biggest challenge because, you know, it's something completely new for a lot of people. And it's hard, you know, to make it work like it should work, like you say, Silvia. It's not easy to apply. I'm realizing, you know, in these first days, because we are missing this, how are you? We are missing this, you know, coffee in the morning or this joke. It's hard, you know, to have time for that when you're working all separately.
Right. But looking on the brighter side, I would like to ask you about whether you see any positive aspects of working together in such diverse teams.
Absolutely. I believe only diversity gives synergy. That's I strongly believe only diversity gives synergy because if we got people who think the same, they can't create something unusual. This is very important that you need to get inspiration. And the inspiration comes by like, oh, that's weird, like, or that's interesting, like, oh, you think like this. So, you know, you need to have this aha moment or like that surprise moment. So I see this as a great value because I strongly believe that diversity gives synergy. And I learned a lot from other nationalities. Like I learned from UK this political correctness. You know, my email became more politically correct when I started working with UK. With Dutch, I became more proactive, like don't be part of problem, be a part of solution. There must be a solution. This is what I learned from Dutch. Yeah. So I'm learning so many interesting things from different nationality, and I'm so thankful for that.
Okay, maybe right now something from different perspective. I mean, what are best practices done by companies to integrate expats? Marco, maybe starting from you, what was the best for you that company could do to integrate you?
For me, the work starts with the welcome part, welcoming those foreigners. Because some people they have somebody already because they have a wife or a girlfriend or a friend, whatever. But some people are just coming alone, like I was. Like a lot of people are coming just because of the job. So I think that the companies they have a very big responsibility on this. Yeah, we are providing, for example, this buddy at work for every new joiner. Doesn't matter where he's from, but we are not taking care of this social life of the people, because a person cannot just live about work. A person needs to live about support, about entertainment, about social interaction. That is what we are missing now, but for different reasons. So I think this is the area, the focus that maybe companies are missing a bit, the social part that can be company party or some time off or some outside job buddy or something like this. It's about talking about this, but I think this is some area of focus.
I think it also would be really nice if we've got different nationalities in our team, that we know our holidays. I mean, some special occasions that we can celebrate. For example, I love when we're working with India. I love Holi or Diwali. You know what I mean? It's so beautiful that they tell me, when is this occasion? How can we celebrate? How can we learn? In Netherlands, they've got Sinterklaas, not Santa Claus, but Sinterklaas. And it's not 6th December, it's 5th December. So this
great.
Is
great.
Yes. So they got Sinterklaas and Schwarta Pit, and it's like 5th December. So, this is super interesting that we can celebrate 6th December, Santa Claus, and we can celebrate 5th December, Sinterklaas.
Perfect.
So this is really nice when you've got people from different nationalities that you can say like, okay, we've got so many occasions just to, celebrate, just to learn something about each other.
And Marco and your team, do you celebrate
some Italian holidays?
Yeah, for instance.
We are only European, so we don't have this influence from outside, unfortunately. But we definitely have our bank holiday from every country. So yeah, we can celebrate the freedom, Italian freedom in April, or the one in Germany or in French. In France, they have a lot of different holidays. It's hard to count all those holidays they have. But this is a way out. We also learn about each other and about the respect also each other.
Okay, you mentioned, Marco, that the social part could be better, but are there any other areas that could be improved by companies to integrate more expats, foreigners?
Well, I think for sure we need to think about having trainings like cross-cultural communication. I think this is very important because it costs so many miscommunication, especially when we work with culture who's very, very far away from our. I observe it when we work with Asian people, for example. For us, European, I'm saying this as a Polish, for example, communicating with Philippines or China or India, it's because of the culture differences. I mean, like values, it's really, really challenging. So I think we need to support our people with a cross-cultural communication workshop and let them understand. And also maybe this, what I say about these holidays and occasions, just to make it more, visible. Like, hey guys, by the way, we've got such a big team from India. We're going to celebrate Holi soon. Like, what is this? Just to give short information. What is this occasion about? Why it's important? Just to give people a bit insight about is that such an occasion exists and where it's from and what does it really mean for these people?
I think that celebration is a great thing that you mentioned, because this is actually what brings us together, right? And
yes,
we can create our own traditional things to celebrate and to have. So definitely, yeah, I agree. Yeah. And Marco, would you add something to room for improvement for companies?
I think that, this accepting diversity is also connected with flexibility. So we need to work on people flexibility, of course, on every individual, because sometimes to give space to some other people, we need to renounce to give up on something. So it's little things. I give you an example. For me, I know that if I could get things in my native language, it's better for me, of course. But if I know that there is other people in this space or interested in this training, and I need to accept to do it in English because, you know, this will give chance to my friend to join. I feel better, I feel richer. And sometimes this is not happening because I prefer to get it in Polish and then I need to wait 8 months to get it in English. And maybe this will be canceled for some reasons. I'm not getting the training and I feel maybe bad for that. Not discriminated, of course. It's not about that. It's just I will feel bad because I lost an opportunity.
Okay, Marco, would you recommend Poland to the foreigners?
I do. I do. Every time I do since 8 years, I brought a lot of people in Poland. Some best friends also, they live now here. They settled here. So I do 100%. I don't hide things. I recommend Poland with, you know, strong positive aspect and also, you know, other things that we have to mention. But definitely I do. It's a great place.
And both of you, 3 tips, recommendation to the foreigners that would plan to come to Poland. What would that be?
First, know our culture. Like, be aware that if we look grumpy, it doesn't mean that we are grumpy. We are just not the masters of a first impression. So we are like orange. So don't get into these things that if we're not smiling, that we are rude or grumpy. So don't go into the first impression. That's the advice. Second of all, give us a time to build a relation, because if we will have this relation with you, you are like a family. Like, we will invite you, we will take care of you, we will protect you, we will feed you. That's important. I still remember the first time when my husband met my grandparents. It was just a meeting. My husband was not my husband yet. And, you know, my grandparents made a huge dinner, like with a lot of meat, like a party. And my husband looked at this and says, "Is it already our wedding?" And I said, "No, it's our Polish hospitality." So you know, we're just welcoming you. So that's the thing. And the third advice is with this grumping, I think that moaning, that it may look like we are moaners, but this is for us just to get rid of the bad emotion. Don't treat it too serious. Like, don't go into so much. We just want to moan. We want to say what we don't like, that the weather is bad, that this is bad, this is bad. Like, wait, and then you can continue a normal conversation. Like, don't get too deep. Like, it is just what helps us get rid of bad emotions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Marco, your advice from expat perspective?
So the first advice will be to reset. Just reset from every stereotype, from every background thoughts or they told me that. Just come to Poland and build your own opinion. And yes, I agree. Don't judge with the first impression. Absolutely. But don't trust, somebody else who just said something. Just make your own experience. So this will be for sure my first recommendation. Then everywhere you go, I will say focus on the positive aspect, the great aspect, because there are a lot of beautiful things. Something, for example, I love, it's like the nature. The beautiful, let's say, nature around. I don't discover too much. I have to improve personally on this, but I think it's a great place. And a thing that I'm always saying to the foreigners, to international people, is like, we are in the center of Europe. We are really the heart of Europe. We can go everywhere from Poland. We can go west, we can go east, we can go north, we can go south. So it's I always take this chance. We can travel by car, by bus, by flight, in every way. So this will be also another recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
I can give one more advice to Polish females.
Okay.
Because this is what I got from foreigners. And this is regarding business etiquette, business savoir vivre. Because I observe sometimes that we Polish female, we would like to eat a cookie and have a cookie. I mean, we want to be treated like male, we want to be promoted like male, we want to earn like male, but if they don't give us a place in a chair or if they don't give us a coat, it's offense. So you know what I mean. You can't earn and be treated like a male and at the same time be treated like a princess. Of course, if the guy is a gentleman, opening the door, giving you a space in a chair, giving you a coat, it's nice. But don't have this expectation. I know maybe it's unpopular what I'm saying, but I think it's going to be very, very important for us to know how to behave in this business savoir vivre, business etiquette. So if we want to be treated like male, if we want to earn like male, we need to understand that not always everyone will be gentleman to us. I think it's the quicker we will understand it, the better it will be for us.
Sylvia, Marco, that was an honor to talk with you. Thank you very much. And I hope that some foreigners could listen to that podcast and come to Poland.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grazie. Grazie. Grazie mille.
Podcast Capgemini Polska we współpracy z Earborne Media. Earborne Media.